Ladies, today is May 10th, 2026. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
To those of you. Yes, thank you. We are in our second session of Women Helping Women, based on the video series by Paul David Tripp, I guess he goes by. I hope y'all had a good week. For those of you who may not have seen, I did receive my suitcase Sunday evening about 7 o'clock. Yes. So yeah, it was, and I'm in the process of writing about that trip. I've made it up to the first delay, so I got to get moving on that. But for Mother's Day, because my mother is 83 years old and she has lived a lifetime of experiences and has everything that she could probably ever want or need, I've decided that a couple of years ago, I actually decided that instead of actual tangible gifts, I give her, we're doing experiences for special occasions. Yeah. So, you know, for Christmas and her birthday and for Mother's Day, we are going to over to Boone, but we're going to go up to Fancy Gap and get this Blue Ridge Parkway. And we're going to drive the Blue Ridge Parkway over to Boone to spend the night, and then we'll be back tomorrow. So I will be here tomorrow morning at some point. Don't do my job for me.
It's going to be a quick trip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll drive the parkway today because it's a gorgeous day, so it's a perfect day to see it. Yeah. So that's what we're doing. You'll see my mom has new wheels today, too. We got her the Cadillac.
Oh, boy.
Yes, of walkers. She did, and it's a lot sturdy. It's really sturdy, and it's really nice. It's a Cadillac of the walkers. Yes, the self-assistive device, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I will be starting to look at new cars, but I don't think Cadillac is going to be on my list of things to look at. Well, one of our furloughs, we did drive a Cadillac. That thing was huge.
But there's a Cadillac Escalade, isn't there?
Like, there is an Escalade. That is the SUV. My mom says, I don't understand that. If it's a Cadillac, it has to be a car, a sedan. So, all right, then. I will tell the Cadillac people. But we drove a Cadillac, and the reason that the Cadillac was nice is because of the trunk space. Because back then, missionaries had to carry around slide projectors, and we had our own unit of projectors, which was something that my brother-in-law had put together, but it was two projectors, with a dissolve unit also, so that it gave the effect of kind of like when you're watching a video with still pictures today, the fading in and out, that's what it would. It would dissolve between, but in between, but it was a lot noisier because you could hear the thing slide changing, you know, and then it would come. Yeah, but it was, you know, state of the art back then, and I don't know, they just, but the thing was, it was in a box and it was huge and it fit very nicely in the Cadillac trunk. Absolutely, we have several actually. Yeah, we even had a few Grace Distinctives manuals, but I did return those to the office. So welcome, and we are going to get into session two here in just a minute. So, just before we watch the video, though, applying what you learned, how does the theology of uncomfortable grace change your perspective on suffering? I've been thinking about that this week. My go-to for when I go through experiences is I write. So this was the result of my perspective on suffering. This is what came out of it. And this was so hard to write. It took me actually a few years because I started it about 3 years ago and then I had to set it aside. And then last year I picked it up again and just started filling it in. You know, I went chapter by chapter and filled it in and made it what it is now. added some photos to it because I thought that would enhance the story. And that's the result. And it's helped me to see the purpose of it, of the suffering. You know, just like Job, I don't have answers as to why. But I do have a new perspective when those things come up. Excuse me, unexpectedly. You're going to have to turn me off, Danny. I'm coughing. Thanks. Excuse me. So, one of the things that Tripp is pointing out today is amazement versus faith. And which is something that's been kind of rolling around in my head all week, too, is the difference between those. And I don't know that I would agree necessarily with him as far as the, like, I don't know that there's a such a vast contrast between the two. However, I do think it's something to think about because, you know, amazement does not always produce a transformation in somebody's life. Like, I am amazed at how United Airlines can, you know, tell me they're going to send my baggage with me and then just never take it off the plane. You know, that's an amazing thing to me. However, it does not produce a change on my part other than I will not check a suitcase at the gate anymore. But, you know, so there is that. But one of the things, and I mentioned this, and this is something I talked about in the book also, is my husband's illness was very much a faith journey for me. Because there were a lot of times when I didn't think my faith was big enough. And I was listening to the song Even If by Mercy Me, and the second verse in that song says, "It only takes a little faith to move a mountain." Well, good thing, because a little faith is all I have right now. But even when God, I've got the words here now, they just kind of flew out of my head. "But God, when you choose to make mountains unmovable, give me the strength to say it is well with my soul." And I realized that it wasn't that my faith wasn't big enough. It was that God's will supersedes that. And so I can have the faith to move the mountain, but the mountain only moves if God wills it. So I realized, yeah, my faith is big enough. And that's what Jesus means when he talks about the faith of a mustard seed, because you just have to do the believing. But the will of God is the biggest part of that equation in our faith. And that is believing that he can do it does not necessarily mean he will do it. And there is that was a big lesson for me to understand, that it wasn't just, okay, if I just pray and God will take this illness away from him. It wasn't just believing that God was capable of doing that. It was understanding that God's will was in the midst of that, and God's will supersedes it. So with that in mind, go ahead and start the video, and then we'll get back into discussion. So I teach a class on Wednesday nights online, and I give them Bible studies to do that relate to the topic. And the course is teaching children and adolescents in the local church. So their Bible study for this week was from Acts 12, where Peter is released from prison, and he goes and knocks at the door of Mary, John Mark's mother. And Rhoda comes to the door. And in her excitement, instead of opening the door to Peter, she runs it back and tells the other people there. In that story, the people were amazed that God had answered their prayers. But why would they be amazed at that? I mean, they prayed, God answered their prayers, miraculously granted. He sent an angel to break him out of prison. But this was, you know, this was a case where people seemed to be a little bit more amazed than their faith. And I think that that was a good lesson for them to learn, in that, you know, God does answer our prayers in the way that we would like him to answer sometimes. Just remembering that his will supersedes. But as he says, things that happen, especially as it related to Jesus, you know, these miracles that Jesus performed were to serve a purpose, and that was to change people. In John 11:45, just after the resurrection of Lazarus, what was the result of that? Well, there was that. But just before that, there's one little statement that says many people believed. In Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 42, when Peter had brought Dorcas back to life, what was the result of that? Many people believed. So the purpose of our trials and our suffering is to transform us. And we can see that through these, we've got a book full of examples of this, true examples that happened, and we see where people's lives have been transformed. Because, for example, with Dorcas, she died. She had a very valuable ministry with widows in her city. And when she died, these widows had no other recourse, because she was probably the one person that really, that kept them clothed, principally, and probably did many other things for them. They had lost their source of encouragement, but also their source of practical living. So not only were they so glad that Peter brought her back to life, as a matter of fact, they sent for Peter, but other people saw and were transformed as a result of that. So who knows what our suffering can also produce, not only in us, our own transformations, but in other people who witness our journeys and our struggles. You know, the purpose of trials and sufferings, it transforms us. But on our way to the other side, we see the glory of God. Tripp said, you know, his care for the disciples started when they got in the boat. I suppose theologically we could even argue that it started before the foundations of the earth, but I understood his point. The purpose of them being in that boat was to show the glory of God to them. I thought it was interesting when it says he meant that to pass by the boat, and his observation that it was meant so that all 12 of those men could see that Jesus was walking on top of the water, so that none of them could say, I did not see it, I imagine. And they're in the middle of a storm. So not only is Jesus walking on the water, it's in the middle of a storm, which would make it really impossible, you would think, humanly speaking, to do something like that. There were no tricks. And there's more to the story if you read the other Gospels. We know that. Peter went out to him, and then Jesus calmed the storm with a word, peace be still. So all of these miracles are designed to transform us, but they're also ultimately designed to bring glory to God. And that's where we need to remember that all of this is, it is for our good, but it is for his glory ultimately. So when you're in the middle of suffering and that person comes up to you, and Susan and I have talked about this many times, and quotes to you Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. The whole bit. If you read on to verse 29, it is so that we may be transformed to the image of God. So I understand from that that my trials, my sufferings, are to make me more Christ-like. And if that's the result of it, then okay. It doesn't mean that the journey is good. It doesn't mean that the journey is not going to bring you to your knees at some point. But it does mean that it will make me more Christ-like. And if that is the benefit, the one benefit that I observe or that I take away from this, then my being more Christ-like brings glory to God. And that is what other people need to see. So as we help other women through these trials, and there are, we all go through them, and we all have different trials of different sorts. Some are devastating, and in their own ways, even though they might seem trivial to other people, they are devastating to us, but they're meant to produce our transformation to be more Christ-like. But as we help other women on their journey, and if we're going to quote Romans 8:28, let's include 29 with it and say, okay, let's see what we can take from this to make us more Christ-like and to bring glory to God. Any comments or questions? We have a few minutes. Because we all have opportunities to talk with other women. At least I would like to think so. Oh, yes.
Sometimes I never saw it coming
right.
That way.
Yes.
The time, I never saw it coming.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. And that's where I think maybe he should have chosen a different word. Because I think to be amazed at how God answers prayer is a good thing. I think to be amazed to reflect on what he has done for our lives, yes. But it's an amazement because we are awed by God and who he is. Yes.
I don't think that, from what I got from it,
yeah.
The amazement is
not.
It's like,
no, it's not.
The amazement does not lead to pointing to Christ.
Right.
Like, I'm just like all the people who saw Jesus' miracles.
Right.
And he said he would not have heard of them because they were not there for belief.
Right.
So I think.
Right, right. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Yes, being amazed, and I think that's the point he was making with the disciples, because they were witnessing all of this firsthand, and even participating in some cases, like the feeding of the 5,000. But it seemed like, okay, it just kind of went over their heads. The disciples, because the next thing we know, they're in the boat and they're crying out, why are we like this? Did you want to say?
Well, the difference is personal.
The difference is personal.
You know,
yes.
The miracle didn't affect them personally.
Okay. Good point. The miracle did not affect the disciples personally because they were going to eat no matter what. Is that what you're? Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's got an internal
right.
effect.
I understand
not
what you're saying.
External observation.
Mm-hmm.
That you're amazed for. God does give us an awe desire
yes.
to know him.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to internalize that, internalize to make it all.
Yes.
Why are we in awe? Because of what we see or because of what he's
right.
done for us?
What are, right. Yeah.
Allows the joy to see it.
Okay. So, yes, being amazed, being in awe, receiving a personal benefit, yes, can definitely influence the transformation. And I think it kind of tells us a little bit about who, you know, how the disciples were in their, as far as their seminary training, where they were at that point. I like to call the years of ministry with Jesus and the disciples, those were their years of ministry or their years of seminary training. Mm-hmm. And if you ever went to Bible college, you can think back and think, yeah. I could have been like that. It just seemed like there was just a wealth of information coming at them and they weren't getting it quite yet, whereas other people who are kind of witnessing it as outside spectators maybe could be more amazed at that, yes. I think, and I remember being, and I was a new Christian when I was in college, but I do remember thinking that, you know, being saved and having that guarantee, you know, of my salvation was kind of put me on a different plane as other people thinking, yes, I know God can do these things, so let me tell you about it. It almost making me proud. I could say that. And it was a big learning experience to actually go to the mission field and realize that missionaries are people and missionaries sin and missionaries, you know, have their opinions. And sometimes missionaries don't get along with each other. And, you know, there are conflicts between the missionaries and, you know, but they come to our churches and it's, oh, the missionary's here this week. What a wonderful thing. And we put them on these pedestals and think they have their downfalls. They go through trials. The life of being a missionary is hard. And it is not for the weak. I have said that I don't know how many times. So, and I use missionaries as an example because I am one. But bringing that around, yes, being amazed is good. We need to be amazed at what God does. As far as answering prayer.
It really is not to see how big God is.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger we see God, and the more we see us as
mm-hmm.
we're nothing without Him.
Right. Yes. Say that. Yes. Yeah. I'm trying to repeat. Yeah. I will repeat it. Go ahead. Okay. It's remembering how big God is and how small we are. And, you know, and even there's even a book entitled When People Are Big and God Is Small, and putting that back into perspective and realizing God is big and He is bigger than we could even imagine. Cindy, were you wanting to say something or were you just,
no.
Oh, okay. Okay. The people are lined up out there, and Rich keeps turning around and looking in. So, Sally is on for next week, so we're looking forward to that. And thank you very much. I'm going to pray real quick before we go. Lord, thanks so much for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the transformation that it brings. Thank you for our lives. I pray that you would be with our service as we go on. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.